This is Find a Way. My guest today is Jordan Burchell. Jordan's a great friend, a devoted husband, and he's a new dad. He's also a prolific musician, songwriter, producer, engineer, artist, entrepreneur. I mean, he's just an all-around brilliant guy. And he's constantly challenging himself with bigger and grander goals, like his year-long song-a-day challenge, which he just finished a couple months ago. And he's not stopping there. Thanks so much for finding your way here today. Enjoy.
And so, like, back in the day, they'd be like, put it on an external drive. And I'd be like, no time. Need to create now. And it's like, fill my entire computer with the shit. And then I'm like, all right, I got 30 more gigabytes to do whatever I want.
Universe,
these 30 GBs are mine. What? It's full? Yeah.
Thank you for doing this.
Of course.
I'm
sorry that our previous... engagement didn't work out.
Oh no, that's fine.
It was a huge net swing of thing I wanted to do to thing I didn't want to do.
That's really hard for me.
Like in your own life when you experience stuff like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've come to understand better the mechanism of like when my brain is focused on a thing or is focused on an expectation and then, you know, something swoops in and takes me out of it. I'm starting to realize that I don't think it's the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it is like a very uncomfortable, a shift that I had to recognize. And I've had to talk with Audrey about it too, where, you know, if I'm in here and I'm concentrating, if you interrupt it, I'm not angry, but I might act like I'm angry. I might.
Well, it's almost like getting woken up from like a slumber in a way.
Yeah.
Where you're in like a thing that you're invested or not that you think you're in it, you are in it, but like your brain is preoccupied with, and then someone's like shakes you on the shoulder and you're like, what? Like,
right.
Kind of waking up from like,
it's disorienting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like a flow state type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Getting like very deeply into something and then getting yanked out of that is maybe traumatic is too big of a word for that particular experience, but like is buffeting in some way.
Yeah, it's like somewhere on the spectrum of traumatic.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like a little T trauma, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, little T trauma.
You ever heard that term? Big T trauma, little T trauma?
No.
I've heard that used to like differentiate between like, you know, a really dramatic sentinel event in your life, like going through a war or like something like that, versus like the accumulation of experiences day to day that are smaller, but like still have an
impact.
Lots
of little T's add up to a big T.
I don't know if that's true. Yeah. I'm also like way outside of my depth talking about this stuff because I don't know anything. So you've discovered a thing about yourself. I can talk about something that I discovered about myself not recently, but over the last 5-6 years, been unfolding where I like do this thing where I just kind of like pretend to know about stuff.
I mean, I know about this, not just with you. I mean, I have personal.
You're well versed in this.
Yeah.
This idea, this concept.
We have strong belief in our theories.
Yeah, like too quickly.
Yeah.
Like off the bat.
Right.
Like, yeah. So, and then, you know, Sam is very like allergic to that behavior in general, but it's just very like quick to point out when I'm doing that.
Sure.
She's too annoying me. But now I'm like, you know, I don't know how credit card processing fees work exactly.
I have a concept.
I have a rough idea.
And it makes a lot of sense. It should be this if it's not.
Yeah, yeah. No, I am right in like a very, like a true way.
Yeah.
Like underneath whatever the actual like surface system is, I'm right in like a more eternal like way that's kind of unmoored from like the social structures that we're forced to live in. And economic and political structures. I'm tapping into something deeper than that.
Somehow, in your attempt to explain that you don't know anything,
I'm doing it.
You made it sound like you know everything.
I mean, I'm not saying that.
It's all part of the mystique.
But no, it's interesting. I think having a kid has kind of like necessitated that I set that down a little bit, which I think is sort of if there is something about being a stay-at-home parent which I am now, that I miss from like pre stay at home parenthood is that ability to kind of like sink into a task.
Mm-hmm.
Those opportunities to do that are now basically, I have to like schedule them, which is sort of the opposite of what it even is. It's like on Saturday at 2:00, I'm going to have a deep flow state experience where I like merge into the universe and create something. But what's interesting is that with the more that I practice doing exactly that, the easier it is sort of to access.
Yeah, well, you just had a year straight.
That's right.
Kind of forcing yourself to do that. Yeah.
And that has been one of the interesting things to observe in myself after finishing that. What, for the listeners,
right,
what Colin's talking about is a couple months ago, I finished a year of writing and posting a song every day. That took a variety of different forms. Some of them were like full productions with music videos. Some of them were just like phone recordings of me and an acoustic guitar. I had a baby somewhere in the middle of that, and you can definitely track like where the production value dropped, corresponding to the baby having levels.
The sincerity never dipped.
The intention, I think, I was going through them for the first time in a couple of months, like 2 days ago. And I was like, some of these are really fucking good. I was like,
oh yeah,
some of these are great.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, because I had, because in the flow of it, not that I didn't think any of them were good, but when I was doing it, it's kind of just like, you know, on to the next one, not really like intentionally not being precious about it. So to go back and kind of sift through them, I'm like, oh, some of this is really good, which maybe we'll talk about what I'm going to do with all that in a second. But yeah, having the daily practice, like you're saying, was kind of an exercise in building the muscle of like slipping into that state for like a little bit,
yeah,
and seeing what you can get. It's kind of like tuning into a radio in a way of like, it's not always going to be my favorite thing that I hear, but by practicing tuning in, I'll always be able to hear something, and then I'll be able to like, you know, more reliably get to stuff that I want to get to. Whereas if I kind of just like leave it up to, I think this is where a lot of people stall out in their life as responsibilities pile up. And they also have some sort of creative pursuit. It's like when you're young and you have no responsibilities, you can kind of like leave it up to the universe to like have an epiphany or have a resonant moment that you turn into something. And then as shit accumulates in your life that you have to deal with, you have to start seeking it out. And I think there's a point of view that might, for people that might feel like, That's actually, it's two different things. Like, yeah, if you're seeking it out, it's actually not the same thing as something visiting upon you. But I think through experience, I've kind of showed myself that it is the same thing, where it's like, there's a place you can go and you can practice going there. And sort of, I guess it's what meditation is about, right?
Yes.
Like you can take a psychedelic drug and you can have an experience. But you can also, through practice, it's not the same exact thing, but you can start to access mental states that are, you know, approaching that,
yeah,
experience you might have on psychedelics. It's a similar thing where like through practice and effort, you can get to that place that maybe you would stumble upon looking at the Grand Canyon or something like.
Well, and I think in the spirit of, you know, trying to explain something as if I know something,
That could be an overarching theme for us today.
It's going to be an overarching theme for my life.
Not to interrupt you. Whenever people, when two people plug in microphones, they're like, let's record this.
Let's talk.
You're kind of automatically saying like, people are going to want to get in on this.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on. This is good stuff. Right. No, sorry. Please go ahead.
I think as far as like the way our brains work, you know, making an intention and following through with sitting down every day, to write, record, and post a song, which I, as you were saying it before, you've gotten so used to saying it, mm-hmm, like when you're talking about it, that you,
it's like my log line now. Yeah.
Well, you say it sort of nonchalant Yeah. Like, you know, like it's not a big deal. And it's almost, you almost say it too quickly for people to absorb.
I have noticed that where people are like, great or something. And I'm like,
no. I'm writing, recording,
yeah,
and posting a song. Very often making a video that requires extra creativity, yeah, every day for a year, 365 yeah, times in a row without break. Part of the reason why I want to say this is just to repeat that, but
thank you.
Also doing that, you're just solidifying a neural pathway.
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, and so the best way a neural pathway has ever been described to me is like the tracks on a ski slope,
mm-hmm,
you know, and if people keep on skiing on that same track, it just gets deeper and deeper and it solidifies. Right. And, it's not, you know, when I heard that description of it, it was being described that way because it was trying to help describe what psychedelics do for your brain, which, mm-hmm, is to smooth out to, you know, it's like new snow,
right,
and the neural pathways, you know, you can make a new one. But that doesn't seem to be the case for what we're talking about here, mm-hmm, this like habit. I don't think it would be affected like that. You still have the path, you know,
to extend the metaphor, maybe like developing a practice like this is like you have your track that you've developed, but you look over at like a different part of the mountain and there's like fresh snow over there, and right, you're like, oh, what if I started
right
trying to go that way?
I still know how to go down the mountain.
Right.
Right.
Now I can apply it. So the whole thing was interesting for a lot of different reasons, but one of the things that I think about the most from that experience is like doing it over and over again. It's kind of like placing an order to my brain for more of that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, 20 days in, 30 days in, I've noticed my head started to be like, oh, you want a song every day? And then it's like, well, I'll give you a song every day.
Right.
So it's not like people be like, how did you do that? Like sit down and write every day. It's like, well, there's like exercise. There's a period where it's just work. Like it's just a pain in the ass and you're jumpstarting the process. But at a certain point, your body and your mind are like, I guess this is what he wants.
Right.
Like he wants these ideas.
Yeah.
So it just starts firing them at you more and more and more. And then the other part of it is not caring what it is that's firing at you.
Right.
Because like a lot of people, I think, stall out, and I in the past would stall out because you get handed something and you're like too attached to a specific imagined result or like even who you are supposed to be artistically.
Right.
And it's like, well, I don't make stuff like this. This isn't what I want to be, or like this idea makes me look bad, or like these words make me seem pathetic or something because it's about some experience that I'm trying to achieve catharsis around. And these specific lyrics don't make me the hero of the story. They make me, you know, the villain or something else. And it's like being unattached from the outcome and just being like, okay, this is the material we have. And so like, and the deadline of like every 24 hours, it's like, so I don't even have time to really like think about, does this, you know, comport with some preconceived notion of myself? Is this what I want to even say? It's like, well, that's beside the point. My job is to like get this stuff out. It's not to like be out in front of it. Like that's the audience's job, is to like receive it and be like, you know, have an opinion about it.
Sure.
Now, when you go to like try to market something, or like the rest of it all comes in, that's where I think you sit down and you sift through it and you go like, okay, like, you know, what should go on a record? Like, what should we pursue? What should we not pursue as we try to like now do this other activity with all of this stuff? But if you bring all that into the creative moment where you're actually plucking things out of the air, you just stall out because you like, you go off on a...
Sure.
Tangent. The example I... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go.
The example I always use is like what I see people do... Because now I get asked a lot, you know, often, like, how do I write more? How do I finish things? Like, I want to write songs, but like I wrote like half a song and now it's like, how do I do more? And what I observe a lot of people doing is like they strum a chord and then they're like, is that the right first chord? Or like they write a sentence. Yeah. They're like, that's a good line. Is it though? Right. Like, and then you start, you go down the path of like evaluating a thing that's barely even exists. It's like you have to make the thing and then evaluate it.
Right.
You can't like, it's like going on a hike and then you like go 10 feet and you're like, is this really the 10 feet we should be doing? Or like, should we stop and go? Like, you've got to do it. And then like after it's done, be like, that wasn't my favorite hike. Maybe let's try a different trail next time.
Right.
Like, so that's.
Yeah. It's just about recognizing what the priority is for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I love about what you did. I mean,
thanks.
It's such a great, you're welcome. I mean,
my life is such that like I haven't really communicated with anybody about it since it's been finished.
I've been wanting to, I mean, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
But that, you know, I want to have a record of it, just because, I don't know, experiences are sort of fleeting. I'm finding more and more like, you know, you're still close enough to it where the buzz is still there.
Yeah.
And it's still, I hope that you still feel that sense of accomplishment and that sense of wonder with it, because it really is a special thing you did.
I do.
And I think that it's like a perfect, as a side note, like I have not on purpose, I have not spoken with you about the drive behind this podcast or the, like the concept behind it. Because it's more fun, I think, to talk about it and to have it recorded.
You did not. And 5% of my brain was like, is this an intervention of some kind?
And I want it to be recorded.
Yeah, like,
well, listen.
Well, is it even going to be recorded? Or is it like, I'm going to walk in and it's all my friends. And they're like, hey, you need to stop eating Panda Express. It's killing you.
I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do that.
No, I know.
I mean, it depends.
Like how bad it gets.
Yeah, where are we at with Panda Express? But... So you helped me conceive of this. I didn't know that you were helping me.
Mm.
But you and a number of people in my life have helped me steer myself in this direction. And it comes from a lot of the conversations we have. For the listeners, Jordan and I had a wonderful podcast called No But Yeah that we plan on bringing back.
Mm-hmm. It's on hiatus.
But your approach and this like challenge that you gave yourself really stood out to me as a beautiful way to challenge yourself. It's a beautiful way to expand yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this podcast, the title of it is Find a Way.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind it is that...
It's a good title.
Thanks. I didn't realize how good it was until I started digging into this idea, which started kind of small. It started with this basic idea that like, that I feel as though something that I owe myself and something that I think we as humans owe each other is the effort of trying to find a way to enjoy things, mm-hmm. and to enjoy mm-hmm. ourselves, our lives, our friends, to find good in things, not to ignore the bad, mm-hmm. but to find good, And there's so many different avenues that goes down. But what I find is I'm surrounded by so many people. I think it's so many. I never dreamed I would be surrounded with as many people who challenge themselves the way that you do, maybe in different ways, to expand themselves, to explore a passion that they mm-hmm. have. And so for you, you have been doing this for a long time in different ways, and it just so happens we're focusing on the song a day right mm-hmm. now. And I know that there's a new thing that's coming.
Some stuff on the horizon.
On the horizon as well, which I want to talk about. But I see it as you finding a way to to explore, finding a way to go into the unknown with the tools that you've got, with mm-hmm. the things that you know you love and the things you already know you're passionate about, but you know there's more.
Yeah.
Right? And this is a much more sophisticated way of finding more passion, finding more possibility. And to break it down into a simplest term, like when it comes to, we'll take music. That's something that you and I share and in many different ways. I've become more and more passionate about the idea of trying to find a way to enjoy as much music as possible, mm-hmm. and to sort of fight against, a growing assumption I find in our society where I see a lot of people taking on this persona of, if I like fewer things, mm-hmm. it means my taste is more sophisticated.
Sure, yeah.
I see it in all forms of critique. You know, the food critic who likes the least amount of restaurants is the most trustworthy. You know, the website with the harshest reviews of the albums is the one that I'm going to go to find the best album. And this logic to me is backwards.
Yeah.
That I would much rather find, you know, to follow somebody who finds a way to enjoy an album, even if it's not their favorite thing. And that finding
like
a way
only covered stuff that they truly liked.
Right.
It's like a different filtering mechanism, but like, yeah,
exactly. Even if it's something that's not number one for them.
Mm-hmm.
When back in college, there was a website that reviewed movies, and, I think there's like some controversy with the guy who started it now. So I don't want to name it, but the whole point for this guy who started it and the reviewers that he had working for him was that they love movies and they can go into a movie and say to themselves like, oh, this is going to be a blow 'em up comic book movie. Let me put that
right
hat on and oh, this, I love this and this
meeting
and that,
it on
and,
its terms.
Right. As opposed to saying, this isn't cinema, you know, this isn't A, this isn't B. And I really appreciated that. It helped me find ways to like those things. And I'm starting to discover that there's a lot. I mean, it's actually a very intricate system of variables that leads to different experiences of things. So take, for example, your song a day.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing your project, knowing the parameters of this challenge that you set for yourself, that is an element that helped me find a way to enjoy it at an even higher level.
Mm.
Knowing like this person is challenging themselves, they're accomplishing something that most people would give up on very quickly. They're being vulnerable by putting up stuff that doesn't represent their persona. They're incorporating other musicians around town purposely to help promote those musicians and also to expand their own horizons.
Yeah.
All of that stuff helps me. I mean, luckily you wrote really good songs, so it wasn't hard, but
it's like homework.
Right. Like it's not, but that's the thing. It's like, I do think that's part of what I owe my life,
mm-hmm.
is to say, like, you know, even let's say if I listened to the first song of your song a day thing and I was like, oh, that's crap. My job is not to dismiss it.
Yeah.
My job is to say, well, what am I missing from this? You know, what, somebody likes it. What do they what do they know that I don't know?
You know?
And if I don't ever get to a point where I can like it, it's not your fault. It's,
or your
fault. I mean, it's just,
it just is a thing.
Sure.
It's just like you're, what you're talking about, it makes so many different directions that like those ideas could take us. There's a lot.
I know. The reason why I incorporate like interviews with people like you, mm-hmm. is because I value you, you know, and I'm sure, I hope that I interview people that I don't even realize that I value at some point, but, you're part of my way. you're part of why I enjoy life.
Oh, damn, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I think that I'm part of yours too.
Right back at you. Totally.
Yeah. And
I hear that from strangers. I mean, just with our band, I've been getting the feedback for a little while now. They like the music and we do a good job, but the vibes on stage are like immaculate, as the kids would say.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, we're just kind of in a place where we're like really enjoying doing this.
Well, and we were just saying it at the last show that we played. We kind of knew going into it, it was hastily put together. Yeah. It was on a Sunday night. It was rainy. We knew we had a feeling.
It wasn't going to like be the one that took it to the next level for us.
And pretty much we were all in to do it. And once again, we sort of recognized that, yeah, it's kind of easy to want to play this show because if you called me up and said, do you want to come over and hang out with these people, I would say yes. So do you want to hang out with these people in this location and bring your instrument and play music with them and then continue hanging out after or before or whatever? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to go to another town and probably not make a lot of money doing it, but we'll all go out to dinner and we'll all goof around? Yes.
It's a great excuse to just have shared experiences together.
Well, and so again, I'm aware that I have to sort of police myself with like incorporating the name of the show into the conversation over and over again. I don't want
you should
it
get
to
like a little like, soundboard where you just hit it.
Find a way. but like one of the most common complaints I hear from people in our general age group who are playing in a band is how, you know, I don't want to stay up late anymore, or I don't want to travel, or I don't want to do this or that, whatever. And I get that. Like, there are bands, if I was in them, that I wouldn't want to do it too.
Right.
So somehow this band has helped us find a way to want to do those things.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like work. It's
the juice is worth the squeeze. Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the personalities in the band have a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Everyone brings a lot to the table, and like there's no real cranks.
Yeah.
In the band. Like one or two cranks can really like tank the whole experience.
Definitely.
I'm probably the most consistently cranky person at least in the context of like our shows, which I've let some of that go, except like before the show you're talking about, Sam was like, are you nervous? And I was like, a little bit. And I don't really get nervous at solo performances anymore, but with the band there's an added element of like, I want people to feel like it was worth it. I want it to be, I don't want to have people drag their shit out, schlep it all in, and then have it be like a shitty experience or whatever. But the floor is high, I guess. It's like if we did show up to an empty field, it'd be the seven of us in a field going like, get a load of us in a field with these instruments.
Exactly.
Like, it's pretty fun, right?
Right.
Like, the floor is high and the ceiling is super high. So that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and like, for me, it also serves a very specific function because I have a hard time with leisure, and us doing shows, it's like it is a leisurely activity because we're hanging out and having fun, but there is like a work component to it where I'm like, well, we are logging, we're getting the show done,
and there's stakes.
Yeah, there's, you know, stakes. Like, yeah,
there are listeners to win over. There are
100%,
you know.
And I think, so going back to what you're talking about of like trying to find ways to like expand creativity, like explore new terrain, I'm in the habit of trying to set arbitrary things up for myself and then get like really mad at them, like enough that it pushes me into action. Not that I'm comparing myself to Michael Jordan, but the Last Dance documentary where he was talking about inventing things to enrage himself before games so that he could perform at a high level.
Wow.
Resonated with me because I think that's like not that I'm saying I'm the Michael Jordan of anything.
Let's just say you are.
I'm the Michael Jordan of Instagram song challenges.
There you go.
No, there's a dude that's been doing it for 14 years.
Every day?
Yeah.
Again, that feels like another thing where it's too easy to gloss over. 14 years.
It's crazy.
Day.
I had a DM conversation with him. He started on YouTube, and then, you know, since TikTok and Instagram became a thing, he does it on there. And, you know, the songs are often, you know, maybe challenge the definition of a song. I tried to be like, you know, have a verse and a chorus and a bridge and like, you know, multiple melodies and like concepts. You know, you could just sit down and like repeat a word over and over again over mm-hmm. one chord, and that's a song.
Sure.
Technically, you know, like the government definition. I kind of applied more. I had a lot of invisible rules that like no one else was holding me to. Like there were definitely nights, I'm on a tangent now, but there were definitely nights where Sam would be like just say some shit. And I'm like, no, it's gotta work. It's gotta have a concept.
I'm sorry, but I can't help mention that I'm having this wonderful fantasy of government agents like kicking down a door to this guy's house being like,
sir,
cease and desist.
Sir, this is more of a 30-minute ambient improvisation than a song. Unplug your guitar pedals.
We're going to need three or more words in the song.
Sir, I have here my report that you played a 3-minute voicemail message with a lo-fi effect applied to it. It's not a song. But yeah, so I was just having a conversation about marketing with someone. And one of the things we were talking about is like things that just come to you versus things that you go after. I think we are often predisposed to thinking that things that come to us serendipitously are like true and real. And then things that we go after and pursue are somehow less in some way. And I like the daily song thing and the monthly album thing that I'm going to be doing and the 24-hour albums are about going after a feeling and an experience, like trying to find the edge of it in an intentional way mm-hmm. versus like waiting for it to happen. And like the exciting thing is like recognizing through doing it that it's the same goods. Yeah. You know, when you get there, it doesn't really matter if you set it all up so that there was a really good chance it would happen, or if you were just like on the highway and you saw the sunset and like a thing popped into your mind, an idea. When you're having the idea and you're on it and you're pursuing it, it's the same feeling.
It's all inspiration.
Right.
You know, and it was something I was thinking about before when you were talking about creating that relationship with your creative mind and learning the pathway to getting there and familiarizing yourself. And it sounds a lot like the description of a relationship with the muse, mm-hmm. you know, and the idea that, you know, there's this separate being who
totally.
Is providing you with inspiration, and if you ignore it, they go somewhere else. You
right.
know, they're not going to stick around and keep on giving you these ideas. 100%. They're like, if you don't want it, I'm out of here. But if you keep taking them, they're like, you want this?
And you ask for
like,
it. Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. Here's another one. And eventually, yeah, it's gonna start to expand from just like, you know, I've been giving you songs every day for a year, but like, what if I give you like some goals? Like,
yeah.
Let's get creative about your inspiration. You know, let's do an album every
month.
You
become friends.
You know? Yeah.
Like, I guess to take that metaphor and expand it with like easing, like learning the way to quickly get into that headspace or like the flow state or whatever. It's like, if you have enough of a relationship with the muse, I always think of it as like this sort of shadow person behind me. It's like a version of me that like is, would it be this, I don't know the super ego thing. I've never been able to keep that straight.
Right. Yeah.
But like the person who's behind my ego, like when I'm mad because like I didn't eat enough lunch or something and my blood sugar's low.
Yeah.
There's like someone back there who's going like, look at you doing that right now.
Sure.
Right. And I think of like the muse, like for me, a lot of the times it's like whoever that guy is. And maybe that is like kind of a collective unconsciousness thing. But if you stay in relationship with that person or that energy long enough, you kind of become old friends with them.
Yes.
And when you're really long time friends with someone, you can go, you know, this is experience that people have had, I'm sure, if they have good friends, where you don't talk to them for a long time and then you pick up the phone and you're like right back into it. And there's an instant familiarity. Even you find yourself being in similar life circumstances, like kind of this eerie times almost.
Right.
And that's kind of how it is with this creative thing of like, if you through effort, and this is again, the effort thing of like, you become good friends with someone by putting something in.
Sure.
Like it doesn't just like snap happen and you're like best friends with somebody. It's
right.
Like shared experience where you invest something, your time, your energy. Even when you don't realize it, it's like maybe it's going to the beach or like throwing the pigskin around,
yeah.
But that's, you're there for that. You become good friends with that, that energy. And like you're saying, it becomes second nature that it offers up stuff to you.
Yeah.
And that you can receive that. I guess if there's like a thesis to what I'm saying, it's that you can set yourself an action item and you can work on,
right,
increasing the chances that occurs in your life through just like very basic. That's why I initially fell in love with the project in the first place, because on one hand, it sounds like a very difficult thing, do something every day. On the other hand, it's a way clearer way to live than how do I become more creative? I don't know. Like how do I do more? I don't know. It's like, this is, to me, it's simpler. It's like, you don't have to worry about anything else other than every day you got to spend some time doing something. Doesn't even have to be like a little bit good.
Right. I mean, the simplicity of it is the brilliant part. You know,
it's action oriented.
Yeah.
It's simple because it's just a thing that you're going to do.
Yeah.
And then very quickly, when you get into this kind of stuff, it's where the rubber meets the road for everything. It's like, I want to go somewhere. I want to do a thing. Really, it's just like incremental stuff that you're going to do every day.
Yeah.
I want to be a better cook. Well, you got to cook a lot.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be like this dramatic thing. You just got to like try often.
Right.
And then observe after 6 months, a year, 5 years, like, wow, I'm like a great chef. And you can just like apply that to anything. I think why people don't, because when we frame it that way, it's like, oh, well, like it's, why isn't everybody just doing their thing? And I think we kind of want to know that generally it's going to be worth it, like whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of want to know that the energy we're exerting is like the correct energy to exert.
Right.
Or like the path that we're walking is correct. And the sort of base reality is that we just don't get to know.
Right.
And so when people are looking at how to like live their life and like direct their energy and the trade-offs of all of it, people with big ideas and people with passion that want to do something end up drifting into something else. And oftentimes the something else presents what I feel is the illusion of knowing. It's like, well, if you follow this path and you get these certificates, then you'll get this job and that will give you this life.
Right.
A person might walk that path the whole time, not wanting it, but the desirable characteristic of it is that they get to know.
Right.
There's like a clarity to it, and there's output Y for input X. The real fucked up thing is that you don't actually get what you thought. You don't actually get it.
Right.
Like, people walk that path the whole time, and then they don't end up with the promised outcome.
Of course. Yeah.
And then you kind of look up and you go like, well, what the fuck? Like, I thought that I was going to do all these steps, and then I was going to get an outcome that maybe was not the highest outcome that I ever dreamt for myself, but it was a certain outcome. And then the rug gets pulled at some point where you realize there are no certain outcomes. You get laid off from your job. you get divorced from the person you thought you were going to spend the rest of your life with, something happens and you go, oh, like, there's actually no, we don't ever get to know what it's going to be like.
And even if we, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make as a species in general in our society is, when, let's take the scenario here where you've got a dream job, but you haven't done any of the schooling for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start going to school for it. The idea that you had of this job is by definition an uneducated guess.
Right.
Right.
You're 17. You're like, I think I want to be an actuarial scientist.
Yeah. I mean, I remember almost all of my childhood and adolescence, I wanted to be a baseball player. I wanted to be a major league baseball player. And when I got to high school, you know, I'd already been on some pretty competitive teams and we practiced a lot. But when I got to high school and got to that level of, you know, every day after school until, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock and then every weekend is going to be playing and everything like that, I thank God it hit me like, oh, I liked baseball, like, on the weekends.
I like that baseball.
Yeah, I liked Little League baseball. That's what I want to do. This sucks. This is like,
yeah.
And most of these people suck.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, they're very talented, and I'm sure they're great people now. But this mistake that we make of trying to know ahead of time ruins the whole thing. And I think it has created a false sense of strategy, which is find the end point and then make your path to it, as opposed to, this is, you know, one of my big revelations in the last 10 years or so is, and I think I've even talked to you about it before, is realizing what the phrase follow your bliss actually means. You know, realizing that it's not supposed to, you know, only be etched on pieces of driftwood in beach rental cottages, you know, like,
yeah,
that follow your bliss just basically means like, when a thing feels good, go in that direction.
Yeah,
right. And
and when it stops, go somewhere else.
Well, yeah, like that is your compass. You know, and there's this concept behind it. I was just before we sat down to talk today, I was at an appointment with my friend Lee, who does acupuncture for us. And he was talking about that. He was talking about how, like, our body and our heart or soul or whatever it is have a very distinct language between them that is very hard to express with words. And our brain is not part of that conversation, you know, and the conversation.
Well, the brain is, but like the part of the brain that's like our personality,
right?
Our conscious mind is not privy to that,
right? Our brain tries to come up with words for it or come up with logic for it, right? And the logic part is not, or at least in my experience, our brains are not as good at creating logic about decisions like this as they are like saying, like, there's 2 sheep there and 3 sheep there. That's 5 sheep. My brain just worked.
They're oriented really towards short-term survival.
Right.
Like that's where our brain is.
Calculation.
Tuned to.
For sure. And, you know, coordination, hand-eye coordination, all those things is wonderful, but our brains do sort of invade this, like, well, you know, it actually probably makes more sense for you to get a degree in IT, because IT is a really sought-after profession, and you'll get a lot of money, and money is good, and so money will make you know, happy or whatever it is. But there's this sort of, like, at least in my experience, there's like a buzz that I get when I'm doing something that I love, and I can't put words to it necessarily. That's why I use a word buzz. But I know when I feel that buzz, like, this is right. This is great. You know, I should keep going in that direction. And if I go in that direction, I'm going to start running into other people going in that direction. And those people, they're probably going to be into the same thing. And the more people I meet in these places where we're all buzzing, the more opportunities I'm going to have to get that. Like, I get it, brain. You do need money because this system's bullshit and we have to have money to survive and be happy. So maybe I'll have a chance to do it if I'm doing this thing that makes me buzz. But maybe I'll just buzz and still be happy. Like, maybe we'll play that show on a Sunday night with nobody there and have a blast and have a great time and like come home thinking like I did a great thing with my time tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. What else are we going to do?
Right. You know, I wouldn't have gotten that buzz, you know, watching TV probably. So I think that that's for me, that's the strategy. That's, and that's what I see in what you're doing too. And that's what I really admire about not only watching you take on the task, which brought me a lot of anxiety at first. I was like, oh my God, he's,
can you talk about that?
Yeah. Like I,
like you were nervous on my behalf.
Yes. I just thought like, first of all, I didn't doubt that you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be really hard.
Yeah.
My friend is doing a thing that's like going to be taxing on them. And also I knew that you had a baby on the way and I was like, wow, this is like, you're really doing it.
Time to pick.
Well, yeah. But I mean, what other time, you know? And so I just, and I also remember feeling at first this, like I felt a great responsibility to make sure that I was there for it, you know, and it was at a time where I was trying to not be
on your phone,
Instagram. I was trying, and I was like, shit, I want to make sure that I'm checking on these things because I'm genuinely curious to see how this is going to go, but also because I care about you and I want you to know that I'm listening and, you know, obviously there's going to be other people. And then like getting my experience of your challenge of like realizing like, he doesn't need me to check every day. He doesn't, you know, like,
I appreciate it, but yeah, that was not the exercise.
Right. Yeah. And, but that's it. The whole thing, the whole experience, your experience, my experience, our friends, the people we don't know who've discovered you through it and everything like that, all of it was just such a great affirmation of the value of the challenge, the value of like, it made you buzz, right? It just made you like, you were into it. And it to the point that like you achieved it, and where a lot of people would be like, okay, give me my trophy and I'm going to go sit and stare at my trophy for the rest of my life. You like announce, you know,
the next thing.
I'm going to make an album every month,
yeah,
or, you know, 24 hour albums and all this stuff. And it's, I don't think anybody doubts it. You know, I don't think anybody.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
Right.
That, well, what I meant by that is I shouldn't. Cause like part of, okay, there's a couple of things. Let's go in order. when you, that last chunk that you said at the beginning, you were like, a lot of people, your brain goes, you have to pick the goal and then go toward it.
Right, right.
I think the simple tweak to like what you were talking about is you have to pick a goal and then go toward it. And then be open to the possibility that that might not be the thing.
Yeah, changing the goal. Yeah.
Right? It's like, because, like, what, like, for me, what follow your bliss means, I think you have to get specific for yourself about what it's your bliss.
Mm-hmm.
What is blissful? Because I think a lot of people, like the Airbnb, it's very funny, the Airbnb Driftwood version of that, they read it and what they really think is pursue pleasure.
Sure. Right.
Because you can say, okay, I'm going to follow my bliss. So my bliss right now is to go eat some spaghetti or like get drunk and read the paper. And there's no trajectory. So like, it's tricky because follow your bliss doesn't mean don't have a trajectory. It might. If your bliss is just like being out on the beach somewhere, which a lot of people think it is, but it actually isn't.
Right.
A lot of people's bliss is going to the beach in the context of living a life that is
where you're
fully
able to
lived, pursuing, you know, something that excites you at that moment.
Right.
And then taking a break from that, going to the beach, and then going back to it and dancing between that. To me, that's fulfillment. It's kind of what I'm getting at. Of like I know that I need a direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that I'm not happy if I don't feel like I have, like, chipped away at some goal. What I discovered for myself in my adulthood is that the goal can be completely arbitrary. It doesn't actually matter if it's, like, you know, like a good goal to have in the broader framework of like the world.
Sure.
Or like my own success. Like, what is the easiest way that I can make money to passively bring it to myself so that I have enough time to set arbitrary goals for myself? Then I can try to like hit them.
Yeah.
Because that's what juices me up.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. I think it's like, you know, to the extent that anyone's listening to this going like, how do I, you know, what do I change about my life? If you feel stuck, I think it's like pick a thing and then go in that direction and then be okay with changing. Cause yeah, like what you were saying, people get so fucked up. Like, you're like 16 years old and you're like, I'm going to be a neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's great. That's a great goal. But if like 5 years elapse and you're like in a puddle, like, fuck, I can't become, I'm like, I can't do it. Like, right. I can't get, it's I like, failed. Well, you know, it is okay to let go of a sincerely held, but like you said, uneducated. It's like you go in that direction and you found out that it wasn't for you. The tricky thing for me is like, I hear myself say that and then I go, but yeah, but like, it's like, you really have to be honest with yourself about like, is it actually not for me or is it actually for me, but I'm like turning away from it because it's difficult.
Mm.
Cause like there were difficult days with the Daily Songs where I could have been like, oh, actually like this isn't, this feels bad. And so I'm going to shirk away from it. And that's where I'm not as big as fan, but there's this Jerry Seinfeld quote where he's talking about like, basically what you have to do in your life is figure out what pain you're in love with.
Mm, yeah.
But I think it's like a simple way of kind of capturing what we're talking about where it's like anything is that you want to do. There's going to be times where it's shitty.
Yeah.
But like, if it's really the thing that, like making an album, for example, there's lots of times, even for like super talented people, where like making a record is just like a complete shit show.
Totally.
It sucks.
Yeah.
But the overall arc of it is incredibly positive.
Right.
So it's like, can you identify that thing in your life where the totality of it brings you so much goodness that you're able in the moment when it's shitty to even recognize that that shittiness is actually great.
Right.
And it's like, oh, this is actually worth it. And then this is like long distance runners or like people where it's like they're absolutely suffering, but they're like deliriously happy because they're like, yeah, I'm in the fucking thing that I want to be in. And that was where I got, I think, 2/3 of the way with the Daily Songs where I was just like an insane person where I was like, I'm in. Sterling called it he's a runner and he says it's the pain cave.
Yes.
Have you heard this term?
Yes.
Where you're like at the basically the last third of the thing, like the last 20%, where you've exhausted all, like you're just doing it now.
Yeah.
You're just like moving forward. You can't even really visualize the end point. You're just kind of this like amoeba that's like automatically doing a thing. And it's like, you can get to that point and then be like, yeah, I've completely receded from this, even being here for this process.
Sure.
I'm just like a thinking, feeling blob that produces songs or runs or like works out or like sings or is a neurosurgeon. I think that's like ultimately what I'm chasing is like that feeling where the me that worries about things and like causes me grief isn't present anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or he is, but he's like so on the team that I don't feel him there. It's like my entire psyche is now focused on an end.
Well, and that's part of the glory of it.
Right.
It's just, it doesn't feel as good if it all comes easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best definition of no pain, no gain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that toxic idea of it. It's just that like, you've got to put in some of the stuff to get out the good, stress test, you know, that it's funny. I'm hearing you, describe or give Sterling's definition of this pain cave for long distance running. And I'm like, oh yeah, I felt that before. And then it hit me. And I'm like when I've been running for 40 minutes, straight.
Well, but I mean that, but you have though.
I know. It's just funny. Like, pain caves show up.
Pain caves are everywhere.
Yeah, pain caves everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, yeah, it's real. And there is some sort of just beautiful, but also god awful experience.
Well, because you're really there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're so fortunate that we, most of our lives, we get to spend kind of above the neck, like, in sort of a waking dream almost. Mm-hmm. Like, my day-to-day life of, like, doing tasks and doing what I have to do and, like, going to the store and, you know, all this stuff. It really is a struggle to be present in some ways. I think that's a term that, you know, gets overused, where it's like, oh, everyone's got to be present. And I think it's a fashionable thing to want to be.
Sure.
But it is still true. But what we're privileged enough that we have to invent ways to force ourselves into that experience. It is good for you to, like, actually come into contact with hunger, for example.
Yeah.
Or with true exertion, like where you are hitting 100% of your capacity. It's, like, helpful to feel that.
Yeah.
In the moment it sucks, but you come away, you know, like, I'm lifting weights now consistently, and, like, there's something cool about walking away, like, okay, that's the most I can lift.
Yes.
Currently.
Yeah.
Like, feeling in your body and, like, the relationship of your body to your head of, like, okay, that's max for us.
Yeah. And then seeing progress.
How it progresses. It's very intoxicating. And now I'm on that track. And, like, the daily songs feed into that. Like, this is the longest I've ever kept up a weight program consistently. And it's the brain stuff from the daily songs where I'm like, well, now I understand that I don't have to think about, like, what am I going to look like? How much am I ultimately going to be able to lift? What even is my goal? I'm oriented. This was the second thing I was going to say after the pick a goal. It's like, what are you oriented to? Are you going after something because you think when you get it, that's going to be the juice?
Right.
Because you will fail if that's the thing.
Right.
Or are you oriented to the pursuit? If the thing that gets you up in the morning is the pursuit, it's impossible to fail.
Right.
You like, I was trying to explain this to my dad, where in a lot of ways, what we're talking, it's kind of this, like, ongoing thing of, like, I want to be an art guy, and, like, he, you know, doesn't totally understand what that means, or, like, how does one, you know, not become homeless, like, doing
that's also such, like, a great, like, our version of saying artist. Like, I want to be, like, a art guy.
Yeah, I want to be an art guy. Well,
I know what you mean, though.
Yeah, I want to be, you know, I want to work, because I don't always want to, my goal is actually not, you know, be a recording performing artist. Like, that's part of it. But I also like helping other people do their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also like building cabinets. I don't know, like
yeah.
what I want to be is a person who's somewhat free to pursue different things.
Just said it. I think that is one of the most misconceived notions of goals in our society, especially in a capitalistic society. Is like, what we seek is not necessarily the riches. We seek freedom,
right? And we think what we're sold is that the riches will bring you, will grant you that. I mean, right. the sort of the generational separation between my parents and I is like, the deal is kind of like, do all this work, you'll get enough money, and then you can sit and write songs all day.
Yeah.
And my thing is like,
but it'll kill your spirit along the way.
Well, not even that. It's like, well, you know, why can't I just write them now?
Yeah.
Like, it's just about trade-offs. Like, sure. Like, when I have to give up, what, some Netflix time? I have to give up, you know, some social activity, but most people who are working jobs, like, even when I had a 50, 60 hour a week job and I was doing music stuff at night, like, most people have the time. In fact, everyone has the time. Like, I mean, now I have kind of a part-time job. I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I still, you know, I'm doing a lot of projects and like my own stuff. And it's like, yeah, I had to give up like essentially everything enjoyable besides those things. Like I'm not getting brunch with anybody. I'm not, you know, I'm not spending an hour at the park, like lost in thought. I'm not walking around anywhere. You know, I'm not like listening to a podcast, like while I just kind of like, you know, whatever, everything is kind of whatever. And that's a period of time. Like, I'm not going to do that forever, but this is kind of like a heightened time of like, got this baby who's not going to be a baby very soon, and like all these different things. And so it's like, you can just start doing whatever it is. There really is no reason that you can't. And I feel like I've come to this with like a very like motivational speaker energy, but I guess that's fine. Like I had this conversation yesterday via text where a person is writing songs and they were asking me, from listening to these demos, do you think I'm good enough that I should pursue being a songwriter? And I'm like, I don't know how to not be rude and saying like, that is so far from the point,
right,
of anything. Like, it's like, absolutely nobody like sat down and was like wrote some songs, and then like an authority figure was like, good song.
Yeah.
Like, you should pursue this. But that's why people don't do it, because in school you do kind of get that.
Right.
You like, you do math and then you got a 95 on your math final. And then, right, so the institution is like, you're a real math whiz.
Well, and it makes a huge difference having somebody else tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember a writing teacher telling me, like, you've got a really good way with words,
right,
you know, you should do that, you know, and oh, wow. And I, you know, my dad would always encourage, you know, he would read something I wrote and he'd say, wow, that's, you know, that's really, yeah, great. That did a ton for my confidence. And I remember, it's funny you say that, because I chuckled at this description of the text. I was like, oh, you know, same thought you had, like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
And then immediately I was like, oh, wait, no, I did that.
But it really matters.
It really does.
And it comes back to this thing we were talking about of wanting to know. It's like, yeah, it's like, if I could just know that it was a good idea for me to pursue this, I would walk to the ends of the earth,
right,
in pursuit of this thing. If you could just tell me that it's going to be worth it. And you just
can't.
No.
I usually like want to kind of like close these conversations with, like, you know, I'm having this conversation with you because I love the way you found to like enjoy your life and like expand yourself. And so now I'm interested.
Thanks,
like,
man.
What's your plan? You know?
Yeah. There's really two things. One are these 24-hour albums. So the first one's going to be September 13th and 14th at the Gainesville Fine Arts Association, mm-hmm, GFAA. Essentially, I'm going to lock myself in there for a 24-hour period and write, record, mix, and master a record. And then at the end of the 24 hours, we're going to have a listening party and listen to whatever the result of that
incredible. And you're gonna be all by yourself?
Yeah. So the gallery will be open, and I hope that people filter through and like kind of become,
sure,
a part of it. The idea is to kind of like be a human art installation, so I'll kind of be in a corner with my,
yes,
stuff.
I love this.
At night, like, the lights will be on, so presumably people could be outside like staring at me through the windows doing this.
I want to bring you a meal.
Yeah, I mean, people, I hope that it, like, you know, it's very much in the spirit of the dailies, which is, like, those are the parameters.
Yeah.
You know, like, the givens are, I'm going to be there in a room doing an activity for a day. And that's not the cool part. The cool part is everything that flows out of that.
Sure.
Like, what ends up taking place. So, yeah, and then at the end, we're going to do a listening party reception. And we're going to sell tickets to that, to raise money for the gallery.
Cool.
They lost, you know, some funding after DeSantis vetoed the arts grants in Florida. So we're trying to fill a little bit of that.
Yeah, if it just as a like a plug, and they're not asking me to, but GFAA is one of the coolest spots that we've got in town.
Yeah, it's a thing where when I alert people to it that didn't know it existed, they're like, that's here?
Yeah.
In our city?
Yeah.
Gainesville is kind of like that in general. I feel like there's like, yeah, like a sort of like haze that goes over people's eyes where it's like, nothing happens here. And it's like, well, how about all these things?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, not those. I mean other stuff. But yeah, GFAA is great. I'm going to do four of these, one every quarter. So this is going to be the first one. And then I'm kind of talking with other places to do other ones.
Cool.
But like all in like a public setting where people can like filter through. I hope that doesn't become like a, you know, like people, I don't know, like throwing paint on me or something. Like, I don't want it to like turn, now that I spoke that into the world.
Yeah, I'm leaving it in.
But that's the next thing. And then that's going to be part of a year of putting out an album every month.
So for the month of September, it's going to be the 24-hour one. And then October,
I don't think I'm going to actually put them out. The four albums will be one of the four of the 12, but okay. I don't think I'm going to put them out necessarily in the month
I see them.
Because I have a finished album now that is like going to be the first one.
Cool.
And then what I've been doing is kind of going back through the daily songs and like putting them into sort of buckets.
Yes.
There's kind of like a folk album in there. There's like a prog rock album in there. There's like an ambient album in there. So like starting to arrange them all into buckets and then like find, you know, like collaborators that make sense for each one.
Right. Yeah. That's cool.
So like one of the more like, there's like a batch of songs that's kind of like more kooky music theory where I was like going into this rabbit hole of like, well, I'm going to modulate like 8 times and like do modal interchange or whatever the fuck. And so I think I'm going to do that one with like the Edmondsons, you know, those guys, they're a band in town. I'm buzzed with Robert, but they're like very like advanced music theory people.
Cool.
So like bringing them in for a session to like even take what I was doing in that headspace like even further.
Sure. Yeah.
Might go to Utah to do like a field recording folk album with Andrew Goldring. Like we were talking about like doing it all in the woods.
Awesome.
Like just with like one microphone or something.
Very cool.
And so like really lean into like each one being a kind of like exploration in making a certain kind of thing,
yeah,
with other people. Obviously, you know, I will drag you and the rest of the band multiple times to do the ones that are more like that thing of like rock band, indie band.
I want to do some ambient stuff with you too. I love ambient stuff.
Yeah, I think I brought this idea up to you a while ago, but I continue to want to do like the 4-person ambient sound bath shows where everyone's got their little shit and like speakers around. And then there's like some rough parameters of like, you can only play in, you know, F major or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be like the next, you know, year and a half doing those. And then, you know, I hope that I'm able to kind of document the entire year as I'm doing them all and like sort of release mini documentaries along with making each album. And then like those hopefully can edit into like the entire thing. And then it'd be cool if all 12 of them were kind of one album at some point.
Sure.
And then win a Grammy for that album.
Right.
And and then maybe, you know, break into acting.
Right.
And get an Oscar and then eventually get an EGOT and then run for president.
Just make sure you got some coattails for me to hang on to.
Oh man. It's such a sick fantasy of mine to like achieve some modicum of success where just like bring the whole Gainesville
that's my dream too.
Crew. I mean, it's like when I'm in my darkest, like I'll show everybody, I'm gonna show the whole fucking world. It's like I'm talking to like nobody. It's like I watch a Rick Beato video where he's like, this guy is like the best guitar player. I'm like, I'll fucking show Rick Beato. Do you know who that is? Rick Beato?
Nope.
He's like a YouTuber who's like it's like very talented and like very into like extremely complicated music.
Okay.
And so he'll be like, you know, oh, and then they're going into Lydian for like one bar and like coming out, this is real, like good music. And
I'm going to like that guy.
Fuck
yeah.
off, Rick. Yeah. No, he's cool. I like him, but he's like not a total dick about it, but it does make me feel kind of bad about myself. In a very parasocial way. Can you talk more about, like the find your way? Is it find a way or find your way?
Find a way.
Find a way. Like what's the elevator pitch of like what you would hope to get from each guest? Is it like how they found meaning in their life, or just like a way to move through life, or like what is the?
Yeah, that's pretty spot on for it. It's really, like I was telling you before we started recording, I have a desire to record these conversations,
yeah.
to have a record of it. And it really, there's something that feels very important to me about that, mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm going to really appreciate the work that I put into this. I mean, I'm already appreciating it, but I'm going to appreciate it for the rest of my life. Just like one of my favorite things about recording music is like, I know that all the work I'm doing is going to be with me for the rest of my life. I can always go back.
You go back to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And
just even if you didn't go back to it, the act of doing it in that way, like it like markers it into your brain in a way where other experiences are in pencil kind of.
That's right. It's the same thing with the reason why I keep track of my dreams. Like
right.
all those books up there are my dream journals that I've filled
out. The shelf here?
Yeah. Like,
that's awesome.
Because I do it, it becomes more prevalent for me.
That's what we're talking about. This is the same thing as the
right.
daily thing of
right.
like making it a practice. Like,
and it just tells you, there's some message you're giving to yourself. Like, this is important. Mm-hmm. I care about this. And I'm like you, I'm not following a traditional path with my career right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of, there's part of me that feels like I'm floundering a little bit, like trying to figure out what to do, where to take hold. And I'm finally, you know, taking the step and the risk of saying like, well, one thing I love is this, what
yeah.
we're doing right now. I loved it when we did No But Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when we're just sitting around and we get a chance to talk and connect and have meaningful discourse. And I want more of it. I'm good at it. I like people. I like finding people and discovering what makes them tick and why they do the things they do. And I am, like I started off with today, I'm surrounded by some incredible people. I feel so lucky that I personally know multiple musicians or artists who aren't just my favorite local artists. They're like my favorite artists, mm. you know? It's like knowing Paul McCartney,
yeah.
you know? And they would, those people like you would likely like, oh, come on, you know,
yeah.
whatever. But that's what it is, you know? And I have no desire to try to figure out why.
Yeah.
It's there and I'm so lucky, right? And so this is just my way of honoring that. It's just my way of making it as important as it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of making it a podcast is sort of, it's actually like very secondary to all of it. It's kind of, I think of it like if I was an artist making paintings and my gallery or my studio is just filling up with these paintings and it's getting to the point that I can't even move around because I've made so many paintings, it would make sense for me to like, well, okay, there's a gallery over here. I'm just going to start putting my paintings
yeah.
up in the gallery so I can have some room to do some more painting, you
yeah.
know? And so if the podcast is popular, that's great. But like, I'm going to keep on, if all I have to do is pay, you know, some sort of subscription for
hosting. Yeah.
And if I have to like keep on buying external hard drives to keep these things, that's good. I'm all right with that.
Your computer's like listening to you like, well, you could sign up for iCloud and then
yeah,
put them in the cloud.
So
well, no, but like, I think the putting it out in some form is an important element of it.
Yeah, I do too.
that isn't necessarily related to wanting even success or wanting an audience. I think wanting those things is good, and I think that's great. But it's like the suction at the end of the siphon, where it's like you have that outlet valve to it, and so that's part of the engine that keeps the work happening.
Sure.
It isn't really up to us to like know or even presume if like people are going to find this conversation to be like useful or cathartic in some way.
Of course. Yeah.
Like my default is probably to be like, who gives a shit what I have to say about anything? It's like with my music, it's like, who cares about this?
I do to both.
Right. Well, I'm more on your side now than I was a year and 14 months ago.
Yeah.
Really, ultimately, what each of those songs were like individual votes to me that like I am a thing,
yeah,
or that like I do a thing that I want to do. Like before the process, I didn't feel like I was showing up in the world as a musician or as an artist or as like a performer. And that's a feeling I had.
Yeah.
I was like, there are people who wouldn't agree with that statement from, you know, circa 2022 or whatever. But I didn't feel that way. And like doing it every day was like slowly proving to me, not to anybody else, that it's like, I may not be the best, but I certainly am doing this.
Yeah.
And I needed the magnitude. I mean, the weight of my own self consciousness and a negative internal dialogue, it was so much that I feel like I needed 365 examples.
Sure.
To overpower that built-in negativity.
I totally know what you mean.
And it's like very, I started it completely arbitrarily, but very quickly I realized that like, oh, that's what I'm doing, is I'm trying to like subdue whatever that force is and then convert him to my side.
Yeah.
Because he, the cynical part of me, the negative part of me has a lot to offer. It like sees clearly, it is analytical, it is often correct in moments where like I'm in maybe danger or like being taken advantage of.
Right.
And I need him on the team.
Yeah.
Helping everybody in a supportive way.
Yeah.
And in some ways it was like, he's like, well, I needed to be convinced that this is worth my time. And so the work is like every day showing up and being like, here's another one, here's another one, here's another one. And like trying to show that guy that, no, this is what we're doing. And then I think I did it.
Yeah.
Like, not that, that it's just like every day I wake up and it's like, yeah, I'm fucking great at this. And like, no, quite the opposite. But I've shifted the base. It's like, am I a person that at bottom believes in the project of what I'm doing and then I have bad days? Or am I a person who does not believe in what I'm doing and I have some good days where I do? I've shifted it from that to, I fundamentally think that what I'm doing is worthwhile artistically, and then I have doubts, to from a person who was like, this isn't worthwhile, and then occasionally doing something where someone's like, I like that song, and I'm like, maybe I am good at this.
Yeah.
It's like shifting the paradigm through like massive amounts of just daily work and focus.
Well, and that's where I think, you know, you were hesitant to take on the mantle of motivational speaker, but I think it's just because you've accomplished that, I appreciate that you're taking the position of someone who can say like, I've been through this.
Yeah.
I like, you can do this too. You know, I would rather you do that than come on here and be like, well, I did it, but
it's pretty tough.
It's pretty tough. You know, if you have any doubt, just give up now. You know?
I think the thing is that it isn't, I used to think about this quote. I don't remember where I heard it, but it was that the pain is only in the future and in the past. I've probably said this to you before, where like the daily project is only hard if you're thinking about the remaining days. When you break down, if you're like, I'm going to write in my journal every day, and it's maybe you don't even set like a page amount. It's like, I'm just going to write has to be at least a sentence.
Yeah.
What is that? 2-3 minute commitment? If that's what the parameter you set.
Right.
It's only hard to fathom when you look at all the days in the future. You're like, I'm going to do this every day for a year. Right. I'm going to do this every day for my whole life.
Anticipation.
That's so much.
Yeah.
It's like, well, now it's actually not that much.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's like with the parameters that I set for my thing, I was like, well, I have to write some stuff. All told, it was like an hour and a half a day, which was pretty significant, especially with the baby. That meant it was a lot of me being up, you know, late doing it. But very quickly, it's like, even when it was late and like, I didn't want to do it, and I was doing it in my garage and it was like hot, it's very quickly I would get out there and I'd be like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Like this is what I love. I love writing songs. I love fucking banging my head against a wall with this shit and then like getting something and be like, oh, that's good. And then like the momentum of it takes over. And the pain is like thinking about like all the future versions of it. It's like, I'm going to work out every day for a year.
Yeah.
That's so many workouts. Well, today it's one. And then you start shifting your whole brain off of the future oriented thing to like enjoying the incremental steps. And then really what brings it home is, I mean, it's become a meme at this point of like, it's the friends you made along the way, you know, it's not, right. It's not destroying the One Ring. It's the friends you made along the way, like thing of like all stories are kind of like that, but it is kind
of
like that.
Of course. You're like, all stories are like that.
Right. Yeah. You start applying yourself to something and you plant a flag and you're like, I'm doing this. Like, it doesn't really matter if anyone responds to it. This is what I'm doing.
Right.
And people will be like, oh, I'm aligned with that. And then you start meeting people and then that starts taking on its own momentum. And that's actually the way that you shift your reality, is by like deciding to do something, sticking to it for a long enough time to actually have enough data to know if it's working or not, or if you need to pivot or whatever, and then watching who is drawn to you, and then those opportunities present themselves, and then it just kind of snowballs, and then being able to like recognize when it's not going in the right direction, being able to work on something for 3 years and being like, this sucks, actually, like we're pulling the plug. But all of that work, I would almost argue that you could very quickly make the right album because you spent 3 years making the wrong one.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, well, now I know exactly why this is bad. And that, I feel like that's the hard part about all of this, is like creating something is like, but it's, people get so blocked because it's like, well, I need to know the right step 1, 2, and 3 to lead to the right step 4. Well, you don't ever get to really theorize your way into knowing that. You got to go 1, 2, 3, not right. Go back to 1.
And that's a step.
Right. That is a step.
Right.
And that's what's so hard to understand and really embody and live that way. The arc of what your task is actually so much longer than you think. I'm not even making a song or an album. I'm not even making like a collection of albums. I'm crafting a whole body of work over decades and decades and decades of time.
And you're also just like crafting a life.
A life. That's right. That's a better way of putting it. I'm crafting a, this was, this brings back, this brings it all home. This brings back to what I was saying about my dad a little bit, where he was talking about, it's like, well, he's like, I'm starting to understand like, you know, how you think and live, you know, maybe you're not going to be like famous, but it's like worth it. And I'm like, yeah, my goal is to, when I'm about to die, look back and go like, oh, I lived in a way where I was always trying to live the way I wanted to live.
Yes.
Whatever that meant in that moment. And so all I have to do in order for that to be true is do that.
Right.
You know, and like, and so, okay, if I break that down into nuts and bolts, what does that mean? Why do I wake up every day and I have to try? But the win condition is not getting it. The win conditioning is, when it's all said and done, having lived in such a way
that you did it.
The possibility is there.
Yeah.
That's it. It's easy. You just do it.
And in that way, too.
Now I'm happy all the time. Well, I have no problems.
It's funny because in that way, you've done the thing that we previously determined you can't do, which is like you've figured out the end point, which is to have done it, like to try every day.
Right.
You know, and that's the end point. Not like to get to this level on the ladder.
Exactly. It's like it's being oriented to a process versus, and someone, Sterling was saying that this is basically Buddhism.
Yes.
Which I've never really read about.
We should dig in
because he was saying like, really that's what it is. It's like, it's not oriented toward like a place you're headed.
Right.
It's oriented toward like a practice and a way of life that if you live it, that endpoint kind of is where you are.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And so I think that's ultimately how I think about now having had a child and done this, you know, intense creative process. It's really not that difficult if you're oriented to the process of it. Yeah. Raising a kid's the same way.
Right.
It's like every day, like sometimes I get really frustrated with being a parent. And really that frustration is tied to, is this going to end? Is this my life now? When you actually look at the actual facts about how the day went that led to the bad feeling, it's like, oh, like she was actually in a good mood all day.
Yeah.
And like there was one time where like a thing spilled and then that was kind of it. So if someone was like, hey, for the rest of your life, you're going to hang out with a giggling baby and then like a drink will spill and that's it, you'd be like, it's not bad. But when like the anger and the frustration doesn't map to the actual experience, and when you try to dig into why, it's because you're extrapolating forward.
Right.
We're like, every day this drink's going to spill. And,
yeah.
And it's like, with kids, it's such a trip because they're definitely not going to stay the same.
Right.
And then you're going to want them to be the same. It's like you're going to, that's the annoying parenting thing where they're like, oh, just wait until they're two.
Yeah.
And it's just wait until they're three and just wait until they're gone and they move out and like, yeah. And wait until you're dead. Like basically that's like the progression of everyone's always going like, just wait until whatever. And you don't have to, you can just like plug into what's going on.
That's the way.
Just fucking do it.
That's the way.
And then you have no problems. Like I was saying. That's how I live now. I have no problems. And I'm happy all the time. People comment on it. They're like, wow, he just seems serene.
You're glowing.
Yeah, it's probably because I've been in the sun too much.
Thanks so much for finding your way here today. I have to say, just having gone through and listened to this episode a couple of times while I've been tweaking the EQ and, you know, doing my little bits of editing here and there, I find myself calling back to our discussion over and over in the last week or so and using a lot of what Jordan talked about as motivation for me. So I hope that you found our discussion as helpful as I did, because it's been helping me get a lot of work done. It's been helping me sort of contextualize my journey forward with the various projects that I'm working on, especially the idea of just being free to take steps in a direction, not necessarily knowing ahead of time that it's going to be the right direction, just knowing that taking the step is the point. It reminds me of something that my partner Audrey once told me when I was trying to make a decision about leaving my job in the public school system. I was so scared because it's what I had done for most of my life. I loved a lot of it, but it was wrong. I knew it was the wrong place. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do after. What kind of job was I going to do? How do I know how to pick my next career? And she just told me very calmly, like, you know that you're in the wrong spot. And so whatever direction you step is the right direction, because you know that this spot is wrong. And that took so much pressure off of me. It's some of the best advice I've ever gotten in my life. And this conversation with Jordan today reminded me a lot about that. So I hope you enjoyed it. I'd like to leave you with one of Jordan's songs. This is one of his Song a Day submissions that he made last year. The song is titled Cherry Pop-Tart, which is appropriate for this podcast because after Jordan made this song about Pop-Tarts, he and I, later on in his journey with writing a song every day for a year, he and I got together and wrote our own song about Pop-Tarts, which we will almost definitely share with you in a future episode. So we'll start with this Pop-Tart and move on to the next. Before I leave you, I would love to remind you that this is an independent podcast, and that means that I would absolutely adore you if you shared with your friends, your family, your coworkers, anybody you think would like this, and anybody you feel comfortable making this suggestion to. That would be wonderful. I would love that. I would also love it if you left a review. I would love it if you subscribed. I would love it if you gave me some feedback. All that stuff would be great. I love it. I'm loving this. I'm so happy that I'm doing this. And I'm so happy that you're listening. So stick around and enjoy Jordan's Cherry Pop-Tart. That sounds kind of weird when I say it like that. Enjoy Jordan's Cherry Pop-Tart. Maybe it's Cherry Pop-Tarts. And maybe that's why it's weird. Nope, I think it's just Cherry Pop-Tart. Enjoy Jordan's Cherry Pop-Tart.
Cherry Pop-Tarts in the morning was a distant early warning. It wasn't long before I was off to school. Tried to make it out the door, biting through the Elite Four. Oh, the only thing I caught was a case of the blue, walking in my T-Mac 2s. Sometimes people change and then sometimes they don't. I wish it would stay winter, but I know it won't. I got depressed at theme parks and I wanted to hold your hand. I wanted to hold your hand. I wanted to hold your hand. I wanted to hold your hand.